right. Well, it's good to be back and get back at the study. A life well lived. And if you're new, maybe it's good to just catch you up on what we're doing here. We talked, remember, last month or now maybe 2 months ago when we introduced this study on the topic of wellness. The idea of wellness is in everything today, and certainly it comes with its secular or worldly definitions of what being well is or living well. And what we've been attempting to do in this study is to reclaim wellness. Wellness is a godly thing as defined by God's word. So that's what our aim is in this, from the start of life, God willing, to the end of life. That's our study over this winter spring term. And we've already begun, if you look at the buckets up there, we've not only introduced it, but we have begun with living well. Of course, we looked at starting well, which we'll comment on again in a moment. I'm going to go through a few facets this month in particular, a few facets of living well, things you interact with regularly. So we're going to talk about that tonight and this month. That's going to give way to suffering well, not just suffering. The Christian life has much to say about that, but suffering well. Yes, we can actually say that, and we're going to study what that means and go to Scripture to help us. And then ending well, a whole domain that really is not talked about at all. In fact, nobody wants to talk about that. But the Bible has lots to say about ending well. And what does that look like? So we're going to incorporate that in our study and maybe, God willing, some testimonies along the way. So we began with starting well. You remember that back in January, and really this is the rallying cry for every disciple of Jesus Christ, Matthew 25, wanting to hear the words, right? Hopefully this is a motivator for you in so much of what you do. It's not the ultimate motivation, but it's a motivation. Well done, good and faithful servant. And in fact, the motivation that would be good there is that it's well done because you've pleased the master. You've pleased the one that is worthy of glory, worthy of all things. So hopefully this is our life aim. When we talk about wellness, we want to hear the one say, well done, that you have lived life well. And that's the aim, to give glory to God. When we talk about starting well, remember our main thing, so this is the main image for starting well. Where is your compass set? What's your trajectory? We talked about the missteps today, with all of our compass points aligned horizontally. Everything from being independent to getting an education, all of these different things, which we, and even as we say that, those are good things, some of them. But that must not be our aim in life. Living well is not just about getting a stability horizontally. That's not what living well is. It's this, Colossians 3, 1 to 2. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is. So this is your trajectory here. Seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. We could say so much just about that verse alone, can we not? Every day, loved ones, do you not fight through where your mind is set? The cares of this world want to have your mind fixed there. And in a sense, practically, we need to tend to those things. But the Bible says, starting well each day, we have to renew our minds and remember where our trajectory is set. Set your minds on things above. So that's starting well. Gave way to living well. So we start well, mindset above, living well. We looked at last month, the body. The body. And what did we talk about with the body? We got super, super practical. You can see we're in a very practical portion of this study. Last month and certainly this month. But last month, when you talk about the body, you're looking at the three pillars of body maintenance. You remember what they are. Number one is sleep. We talked about the spectrum, and remember, we kind of had a laugh at even the spectrum in this room. In this room, there's some that don't get enough sleep. I would be one of those, right? Not getting enough sleep. And then there's some that said, yeah, I recognize I get enough sleep. And maybe even some that said, I probably get too much sleep. Right? So there's this whole spectrum there. But we need to moderate our sleep and understand we want to have enough, but not too much. Enough, but not too much. And we talked about the various pitfalls with each. That's sleep. Two, food. Food. And we simply said this, what's the guiding principle with food? Food obviously is fuel for our body. We must eat. But again, like sleep, we have a tendency maybe to not eat enough or not eat right or eat too much. So we talked about the principles. What were they? All things in self-control and moderation. That really is it with food, right? Right foods, and we talked about that, in self-control and moderation as we steward our bodies. And then three, we talked about activity, and I really wanted to stress this for all of us, not those that may feel like, well, I can't do the vigorous activity anymore. For all of us, we can choose to stand over sit, and we can choose to walk instead of not walking, right? This is something I've been challenged with, right? Especially when you have more of a sit-down kind of sedentary lifestyle. You need to get active and do these things. So simple things, sleep, food, and activity. Simple things if we're keeping our body well. Living well means we can't neglect any of those things. Does that make sense? We can't. Because, and what did we also learn? Each of those are connected to something spiritual, aren't they? Turns out when you don't get enough sleep, or you're hungry, or you haven't had enough activity, spiritual things are more prone to happen. So we talked about that as well. So we want to live well with our body. But as we continue now with this next segment, we move from the body to our environment, the things of our body to the things that are around our body, living well with our environment. And what are we going to look at in this bucket? We're going to look at things like money, yes, relationships, our time, and the big one tonight, technology. We're going to look at technology. And this, as you can see, blends with our, remember this from our Mind with Christ study. We were encouraged in that series to be practically mindful. Do you remember that? And the mind of Christ is not something, remember, you put in a compartment and put on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. Remember that? It actually will be tomorrow. You have the mind of Christ on for all that you have to do. Paying those bills, going to fill up gas, wash the dishes, the person you're meeting for coffee, I hope you have the mind of Christ on for that, right? So this is, you see how this flows right into living well. But tonight then, of these, and again, they're not all there, but we're going to look at a few buckets over this segment, technology. So let's begin with a question. Who wants to answer that question? Is technology good or bad?
False dichotomy.
Bill said false dichotomy. Very good. Very good. Anyone want to weigh in on that? By the way, just so you know, so I can put you at ease, I've read two books over the past 2 years with two authors that you probably know or don't know that weigh in very much on one side. We had one in the library, 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You, which would submit that technology can be good. In the end, he's kind of trending to say technology is good. Those of you, maybe you're more conspiracy folks, have read Live Not by Lies. Rod Dreher will tell you in the end, technology's not good. So I want to disarm you a bit. I want you to think through it. People have lots of opinions about technology today, whether it's good or bad. But let me just throw it out to you by way of just priming the pump. What would you add to the ongoing debate of technology? What would you say? John?
I think if it's used properly,
hey, that's a good answer. John said if it's used properly, it's not bad or good. Although we might say if it's used properly, it could be good. Matt?
I think technology is not good or bad. It's the person using it.
Yeah.
So it's how you're using it.
Yeah, very good. I mean, look, I'm denoting a trend already, so I want us to get into this. It's kind of like, and again, I'm not, hopefully don't shy away from the controversial stuff. It's like a gun, isn't it? It's like a gun. Is a gun good or bad? And I mean, I'm of the generation that would, before we even enter in that, would say a gun is bad at all costs. It's how you use it. You can defend people's lives with it, or you can take people's lives with it. Jerry?
What do you mean by technology?
Yeah, that's another good question. I mean, there we go. Advance, and we're going to see, we're going to go right back to the beginning, Jerry, on that point, and hopefully that'll help clarify. We're going to Genesis 4 in a moment, but technology is a great question. Some would define technology as any advancement out of human capability. Like a human can use his hands, or he can use a fork. Well, the fork is technology, right? Does that help a little bit? It's an advance beyond your body. Now, some make it specific on Jerry's point. And again, if you're of a particular generation. I'm a Generation Xer, so technology is just stuff you have to plug in, right? I'm going to submit to you tonight, it's a little broader than that. It's the body, remember, things I can do with my body, and then things that are outside my body that can help. Tony Renicki says, extensions of your hands and feet, if you will. Jeremy.
As we're thinking about not being good or bad, I just think that undiscerning use of anything is unwise.
Yeah.
So like, if we just say, well, technology is not good or bad, let's say cell phones, for instance. Cell phones aren't good or bad, so that means I could just use my cell phone as much as I want. Mm-hmm. Not worry about maybe somebody is listening to me, you know. You have to be somewhat discerning.
Yeah.
Even though there's nothing inherently good or bad about the technology. It doesn't mean you don't have to be mindless about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really good. Jeremy's just saying, being discerning, and this really dovetails, Jeremy, with the mind of Christ. We should not mindlessly use anything. Yeah, Daniel.
Just kind of echoing off of the fact that it's how you use technology. While that is also true, I would also submit that some pieces of technology are engineered for certain uses. So, for example, some apps or software that people use are designed to be addictive. That's different from something else like Microsoft Word, Office, for example, which is not really designed to be addictive, it's really designed to be productive, right? So I think while yes, it is how you use it, we can't escape the fact that some technology is built with certain intentions in mind, and so you have to fight hard against it sometimes.
Yep.
More than other pieces of technology.
Says the guy that develops technology for a living. But thank you, brother. That's helpful. And I think these are good things to know, right? There is technology, right, developed with insidious means. That's what I hear you saying, Daniel, for sure. Now, of course, we would say, and you see where we're going with this, we can say the flip side as well. There's technology, and we're going to see some tonight, developed with really good intentions, and that actually can even save lives, right? So really good, brothers and sisters. This is good. But I think you see where this question leads. When we think about technology, really hard to land on one of those and say, that is it. With all due respect to authors that try to do that. So let's at least just do a little walkthrough and consider some things based on what you've heard about this idea of neutrality, technology neutral. Smartphones have turned into smart homes. Now, I know some of you have a lot to say about this, what they're actually listening to and doing in your home. The point is not to open all of that up. But here's the point. Technology has stretched from your phone, which is smart, to your home, which is smart. I'm always amazed, and I know some of you have smart homes, and this is not a knock against that, what they do. I was sitting, well, some of us men were, John, at your party there the 2 weeks ago, football party. I was sitting with Don and Sue's son-in-law, and he said, oh, his phone rang. This is a true story. Recent. He said, oh, excuse me for a moment. It was Aaron. Some of you know Aaron Bradley. Aaron's on the phone. Can you turn on the porch light for me? Okay, honey, it's on. Is that good? Yeah, I'm good. See you. This is the environment we're in. She has to phone her hubby, who's in a whole other city, because he's got the smart on his phone to do that. Now, that's not a comment deliberately on good or bad. It's a comment on, wow, this is where we've come. That she can be in a home and she needs Blake to do that remotely somewhere else. So smartphones, smart homes. How about this one? Rest is technology. I want you to really think about this. Most of us turn to technology for rest. The book turned into what? The movie. The board game turned into what? The video game. We turn to rest now. We look for refuge and rest. In fact, we've created terms for this. I just want to unplug my mind and watch a show. Like we say, our mind is always active. We're not doing that. Our mind is always engaging. But it's because what we've done is we've turned to technology for our rest. Much more we can say about that. How about this one, living life on social media? This is one of those things where I feel like it's so 12 years ago or 22 years ago. This is what I just picked up this pasta on aisle 7 and they put it on social media or whatever it would be. But this is everywhere now. Literally, people putting every vignette of their life on social media. And the reality is, don't know about you, and again, I'm completely not qualified to talk about social media because I'm not on it. But one thing I hear from you often is the lives that are presented on social media are not the lives that are lived. And it drives you crazy, doesn't it? You hear it all the time. But we're trying to live this alternative life on social media. It's like it's not enough that we present a certain way here, then we need a social media profile and all of that. That's what technology is doing to us. Now, that's on one side, right? So this is the Rod Dreyers of the world would say, that's what I'm telling you. This is bad. But what about the other side? How about wheels? Most of you got into a car to come here, right? Or just simply pulling a wagon in the old days. What about diagnostic imaging? Is that a good thing? Oh, it's a very good thing. Praise God for that technology. What about ovens? Man, we need ovens on Saturday. They give you the good stuff on Sunday, right? In one sense, we kind of poke fun, but we recognize technology, on Daniel's point, in the converse, can be used for a very good thing. And under the sovereignty of God, he gives us these things often to save lives. To save lives. Does that make sense? So I think what we're seeing is a spectrum here. And indeed, like all things, Jeremy, on your point, if we're not discerning, right, or we recognize you can use anything for good. You can take the knife to chop your vegetables or kill someone, right? Like all of these bits of technology have things that we can use to bad ends and good ends. Does that make sense? Thoughts on that before we move forward to look at biblical technology? Dave.
Although, I agree totally, my first thought was it's not good or bad, it's the user. However, we tend to lean on the side of using it wrongly, I think,
yeah,
more times than not, and more problems come from it probably than it solves.
Mm-hmm.
I think we found new ways of sinning with it. And it's at our fingertips all the time. It's constantly a battle of, you know, what's coming across, an ad that comes up. And I think, and it's designed, the culture, like you kind of mentioned, they're designing things to capture us, to take us out of our game, take us off the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yeah, discernment's obviously very important. But I think even still, it's tough. And it's gotten to where it's hard not to. Especially if you work for yourself or have a business, you're on all the time. There's somebody who wants to get a hold of you all the time. And if you don't use it, you choose not to, you really have a tough go.
Yeah.
People expect you to get back right away, where years ago we didn't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say we're any better now that people can get a hold of us at any time. I think we think that now and we say it's productive, but I wouldn't say we're any more productive.
Yeah, and Dave, I would be with you. I mean, I still would recognize there's a sense of neutrality, but Dave, absolutely. I think our anthropology tells us often we've introduced something that's just not going to lead us to good ends. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm very careful through this tonight. We're not talking about sin. We're just talking, we need a whole lot, as Jeremy said, discernment and wisdom before we keep adding smart, smart, smart. So that's well said. Totally agree. Okay, go to Genesis 4. And as we say, Jerry had asked, well, what is technology? Well, let's look at it early in the Bible. In Genesis 4, I mean, we're flowing out of the Cain and Abel account. And here we have some descendants. And notice what is said. Someone read, well, if they're willing to, with the names, maybe to give us some sense of this passage, 17 to 22. Who wants to read that?
Then Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city Enoch after the name of his son. Now to Enoch was born Irad, and Irad was the father of Mehujael. And Mehujael was the father of Methushael. And Methushael was the father of Lamech. And Lamech took for himself two wives. The name of the one was Adah, the name of the other Zillah. Adah gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who live in tents and have livestock. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the lyre and the pipe. As for Zillah, she also gave birth to Tubal-Cain, the forger of all implements of bronze and iron. and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah.
So take a look here at where we are in Scripture. We've been in Genesis 1, 2, and 3 in the garden, right? Picking fruit, presumably hands and feet. And now look what we get introduced to in 17, cities being built, right? This is right from Cain and Abel. Go down to 22, look at it. Zillah also bore Tubal-Cain. And what about Tubal-Cain? He was the forger of all instruments of bronze and iron. Now, again, remember, that's not a commentary on whether that's good or bad, but it just simply recognizes that technology was being made and used from early days, the earliest of days, right? In fact, you would look at cities and instruments of bronze and irons as the most primitive form of technology. Does that make sense? So we at least see this introduced in the Bible. More, look at 2 Samuel 6, 3 to 4. And you know this account. We're not going to comment on Uzzah's death, but what we're going to comment on is something that happened here. They carried the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the Ark of God, and Ahio went before the Ark. And of course, you know what happens in this account. Oxen stumble, the Ark starts to go, and what does Uzzah do? He puts his hand out and he touches the ark. Of course, in Numbers 4:15, told very clearly not to touch the holy things. But what we read, now we can turn to Exodus 25. One of the reasons why that shouldn't have happened, right, is through this bit of technology we learn about. Someone go to Exodus 25 for us. And let's read this technology. We studied it in Exodus. How about someone read 10 to 16 for us? Now listen carefully to the instructions from the Lord. Who's got that? Exodus 25, 10 to 16.
They shall make an ark of acacia wood. 2 cubits and a half shall be its length, 1.5 cubits its breadth, and 1.5 cubits its height. You shall overlay it with pure gold. Inside and outside shall you overlay it. And you shall make on it a molding of gold around it. You shall cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them on its 4 feet, 2 rings on the one side of it and 2 rings on the other side of it. You shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold, and you shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry the ark by them. And the poles shall remain in the rings of the ark, they shall not be taken from it, and you shall put into the ark the testimony that I shall give you. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold.
That's good. Uzzah touched the ark, and he was not supposed to touch it. And again, a whole other, what was going on in that is not our purposes tonight. But the point is, the ark wasn't to be touched, and God prescribed technology to not touch the ark. And what is the technology he prescribed?
The
poles. Poles, rings and poles. So you would say, well, how will we do that, Yahweh? Well, here's how you'll do that. Here's the technology. Build rings, affix them, and put the poles through. Now, again, that's not to say all of a sudden technology's good. Dave, I'm still with you where I think there's a sense, right? As time goes on, we recognize more and more. It's not always good, but it has its moments. The diagnostic imaging or the poles on the ark, we recognize it can be good. Does that make sense? So we want to see this, and what we're doing as we're laying some theological foundations is we don't want to come down hard on either side. In fact, I would submit to you the Bible doesn't allow us to do that. And say it's always good or it's always bad. I mean, at least we're seeing it can't do that. Does that make sense? Okay. So let's do this. Let's talk about technology's access then. If we at least recognize God, under God's sovereignty, he's given us technology, let's acknowledge some of the things we've seen. Let's talk about the good. Technology connects people, doesn't it? Thinking about the fact, Daniel and Jade, you've moved to this area. One of the reasons, remember talking to Daniel a few months ago, he can do that is because he works remotely. How about our brother Jerry? I mean, American employer, right? For how many years? And these are abilities that technology gives, that they can actually be in a whole other city and country and still work for their employee. Connects people, right? Think about that, the long-lost loved ones and keeping in touch. all good. I remember being in California and being able to have my parents see their grandchildren, right, through screen technology. That's good. They're far away. We can't be there. It's grandparents. You know what I'm talking about. That's just lovely, right? You can see your grandchildren that way. And helpful content. I want to be clear. Helpful content. Yeah, absolutely. Let me share this article with you. Wow, that was really helpful. That's the good, right? We can agree it's the good. But of course, that's not it. There's the bad. And by the bad, we would say the time wasted. The unhelpful content. I remember being at the time, was an unbeliever, but I remember being of the generation. I was the crossover. I learned to type on a typewriter, right? I know, Bill, you're with me on that one. And then a few years, they introduced the computer, and then I was doing word processing. And then, of course, this military thing called the internet, right, was introduced. And I remember in those early days, just not, like, time was just gone, right? You're discovering this whole new world. 3, 4, 5 hours. Well, it turns out those things are not so yesterday. What do we hear today? People's like, I don't know where the time went. I started looking at one news article and then another, and then, oh my goodness, it was 7 o'clock. And the time was gone. This is the bad stuff where we waste time, and sometimes not with helpful content at all, is it? Not very much helpful. You know, Jerry, you were sharing some of the things, right, that just are out there, and as Jerry's sharing it with Dave and I, we're like, wow. That stuff's out there, and it's not helpful at all. So we recognize there's good, helpful stuff, and there's unhelpful content. But then that's not all, and this is what tips it sometimes. There's the ugly stuff, the ungodliness, and the wicked content. And what do we mean by used as a shield? I think we're in a time where technology is kind of like driving a car. Everyone has this bravado behind the wheel, right? Right? And they do things they do behind the wheel that they wouldn't do to someone in person. Well, you take that in on behind a keyboard. Awful things that are typed, right? It seems that people would say things online and social media that they would never say to someone in person, right? And you know that. They just wouldn't do that. So technology's bringing out, it's, in one sense, you'd say, well, we need to see what's in one's heart. But in another way, we'd say, is this very helpful? Is this godly when we see these things? Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. If we could paraphrase with technology, let no corrupting talk come out of your keyboards, but only such as good for building up, and so on. And I stress this point because it's awful. This is awful, and you all have said it and you've seen it. How someone can type that and not say that. And this is one thing technology has harnessed and brought out, some of the deeper ungodly words that we would say. Now, that segues us, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Again, not to tip scales either way, but at least to talk about the access of technology. Let's talk about technology's hold. We've talked about the access of it. Now let's talk about the hold of technology. And this is where we'll get a little bit more penetrating, but I think we have to, beloved. I think what we need to do is understand how invasive technology is. That is a television in a bedroom. In a bedroom. We had this week, someone said to Carrie and I, they made a huge step by taking the TV out of their bedroom. And it was a huge step. And one thing we appreciated about this individual's humility, they said, you know, I always thought it was just a luxury I didn't grow up with, and I just wanted it. I wanted to have the TV in my room, but I recognize how unhealthy and unhelpful it is. Very refreshing to hear that. Now, let me be clear. If I had a big neon sign, I would say this. I am not saying it's sin to have a TV in your bedroom. Understood? I'm not saying that, but I am saying it's very unwise to have a TV in your bedroom. I will say that. Not sin, very, very unwise. And you say, why? What? Why is that? Well, a number of reasons. Give no opportunity to the devil. And you say, wait a minute, you've just gone from step one to step four. Like, what are you doing here? All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. And give no opportunity to the devil. What are we talking about? One of the testimonies, and this is not an uncommon testimony, this particular individual said is it promoted laziness for them. Going to bed earlier to watch TV, staying in bed later. I think we understand how this goes, right? It promotes staying in bed, and what does Proverbs say about staying in bed for too long? We've had other people, I have, told me it has no help for your battle with immorality. No help at all. Awful stories to tell you of people with TVs in their bedroom. Awful. I might say pastorally to you, based on experiences that I hear alone, get it out. Not saying it's a sin, but I am saying it's very unwise to have. Not to mention time. We could talk about the time. And here's the biggest one I want to submit to you as we go back to the graphic. I want you to look at that picture for a moment and grab this. You and I, if we do that, have just fused two worlds together, have we not? We have allowed technology and all the things of the world into this inner sanctum of our bedroom where we need to rest and recover and be away from those things. We're fighting upstream with, wow, technology's so invasive, yet we have the Trojan horse right in our bedroom and say, well, you know what, I'm going to put it right there. Now, I know some of you may be upset, but just giving you my heart on this, where I think it's something we need to think about. Because there is a fusion and a blurring of worlds there that are not helpful for us. Not helpful. So hopefully that makes sense. Questions on that, dare I ask? It's okay, again, I mean, I totally get it. And everyone's in a different place with those things. But more and more, and Dave, this is on the point you said, I would submit to you, it's just not helpful. In fact, there are many more things I could say about TVs and bedrooms, but I'll leave it there. I'm in enough trouble already. So just keep it there for tonight. Technology's dominance. We've talked about technology's access, technology's hold. Now, how about the dominance? We haven't even got to this yet. Technology's dominance. Now, this is just, it's astonishing, but it should not be surprising. So this is Statista, which gave some data. This is out of the United States. Media usage amounts to 10 plus hours a day. That's media, by the way. This is not using your kettle or your oven or a press or whatever. This is media. 10 plus hours a day. Now look at that breakdown. You say, what's going on there? I can't see some of these things. Let me condense it for you. What's the saturation threshold? 4 hours and 21 minutes of TV a day. 4 hours and 21 minutes. That's live recorded all forms of TV a day. Am I the only one? Like 4 hours and 21 minutes of TV a day. 2 hours and 19 minutes on a smartphone. Now understand what's going on here. That is not the movies and videos you watch. This is just you on your smartphone. Over 2 hours a day and 19 minutes on your smartphone. How about 58 minutes? And I like how they delineate this. Internet on a PC. It's like I've done the TV thing, I've done the smartphone thing, but I still need an hour on my PC. This is crazy. And 43 minutes on a tablet. This is all in one day. In one day. And I would ask you, think about those numbers. Are we saturated with technology? We are, aren't we? Yeah, let's just call it what it is. We are. And we want to help each other in this, right? We're saturated with this. It's coursing through our veins. Coursing through our veins. So how do we harness technology? What do we do? So let's, for the back half of our time now, if we recognize the problem, and I'll pause for a moment to see if we are in agreement with that, how do we harness it? Are we tracking together with this? Do you guys, let me stop for a moment. Do we agree? Do we disagree? Is this underblown? Is it overblown? Are we mad, happy? How are we feeling? What do you guys think?
I agree.
Yeah, agree. Yeah. Other thoughts on our saturation with technology? Sheridan. Yeah.
Because I didn't waste time before. Well, I mean, I probably wasted a bit of time coming in to watch TV, but I just remember being very productive. I get up in the morning and, you know, have my
Sheridan, I love that. Those are two good comments, by the way. Sheridan's talking about, what did I do at this time before technology saturated it? Excellent point. And I mean, it is sobering to think about that. And what did you just say? Sorry, I just lost it. The second part you said?
That I personally...
Oh, right, are better off without a phone.
I would like to go back to the time before the internet. Mm-hmm. Do I think that there's been some great, amazing things from, like, I love having information at my fingertips in a second, mm-hmm. when I kind of look something up or gain knowledge about something. But I think the reverse of that is worse than the stuff that you get that you, you know, just like, well, they call it misinformation these days, but sadly, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, Sheridan, that's a great point. It's like what Jeremy was saying, and I guess this is where I would align, Dave, again, with your point. Just if you look at the ratio of things that are out there and what we do with technology alone, it tips the scales to, wow, this is probably not good. Now, you do see it takes a responsible, harnessed, moderate view to say, hey, we're not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, but man, oh man, we have a whole bunch of things we have to cut through to really start harnessing it well. So I appreciate that, Sheridan, for sure. Other thoughts before we move forward? Dave?
The other thing that I see a big kind of tough spot is parenting. I think parenting in this generation, or in this these times with electronics, what it is really tough. It's, I know with us, we had a lot of rules over things and didn't let a lot of things go on, but you're constantly still battling it. I mean, there was Wi-Fi at the school. You have to stay up on it. There was Wi-Fi at the public schools. So they have ways of getting on that we don't even know they have. Like devices they have that aren't even for anything like that now mm-hmm. have the ability to do it. Mm-hmm. So you constantly have to be up on it. It's a huge battle.
Oh, it's huge.
I heard a speaker, and he talks about just on pornography was the one topic amongst many. But he said to the crowd, he said, how many people worry about their kids with pornography? And everyone said, yeah, almost everyone in the audience. And he said, how many are, and what are you doing about it? And nobody hardly said anything. Yeah. He said, then you're not really worried about it. And that's kind of what's, everyone just kind of takes that blind eye to it, but it is a real battle with kids. Mm-hmm. It was a really tough, I would say one of the tougher times mm-hmm. is just keeping electronics out and mm-hmm. keeping rules. And you look like a monster and everyone thinks it's really old fashioned, but it's,
well, we've gone so far the other way. Case in point on that, a week ago, I had a young dad, not at this church, reach out to me and just said, hey, help with my teenager. He's got a teenage daughter and son. He's like, what do you do for computer things? And, we were talking about things. And this is with a daughter, by the way. This is not the young man stuff. This is with a daughter, a 16-year-old daughter. I said, okay, well, let's start with the baby. Like, where is she on it? Oh, well, she's normally in her room. And I was like, well, we can't even get to... No, never in your room on the computer. You know what I mean? So Dave, on that point, he's like, yeah, I'm seeing it now. That probably wasn't the best. Well, yeah, we have to be awake at the wheel, recognizing all of the stuff that comes in through that computer. And when it's unmonitored, you know how many times we've heard, hon, how many times parents say, well, I trust my children. Yeah. That is such an errant anthropology. I can't tell you. I mean, for me as a young man, that's the golden ticket right there, right? That's what I want you to think. Trust me, I've got it all figured out, right? Yeah. So all to say, we need to, all the more, Dave, on that point, to wake up and wake up that this stuff, and you know what makes it even worse? Our kids and grandkids know this technology better than we do. So they can even fool us into thinking like, oh, don't worry, mom and dad, don't worry, grandma and grandpa, I have it good. And this thing is a mess. So we have to be on it. And Dave, I love what you said. I mean, Carrie and I can speak to this for sure because you face it all the time. Oh, that's so restrictive. Oh, you're so hard. And it's like, well, these days, we gladly take that label, don't we? Yeah. Yeah, we are that. We are that.
When someone called our house when I was a kid, the phone was attached to the wall and your parents are yeah, right there.
So
they knew who you were talking to. They knew what's going on. They know your tone. And they knew how long you were on the phone. They knew everything that was going on in your life because they had the phone. Nowadays, it's hard to, if you allow that in, how do you know who's talking to your kids? You know, all kinds of scary stories.
It's funny, Dave. I remember, give you all these childish. I remember it was edgy for me. We had one of those wall phones with the extra long cord. I remember talking to my friend, and it was edgy because I made it around the second step. So then there was a wall, so I'm able to talk. It's still in like broad. The parents can be right there, but I was edgy because I made it around the bend. Now, goodness, right? We're so far from those days. But those were the days, right? We talk about very, very different. So, okay, yeah, John.
One of the other issues right now that's happening quite a lot is people are being scammed. You know, they're being attracted by something and they're buying stuff that doesn't even exist and they're giving money away.
And the schemes, and I mean, Daniel, you could speak to this. You know how elaborate the schemes are. Am I the only one weirded out when you're starting to type something and it anticipates what you're going to say? I mean, you know, you realize, wait a minute, how do you know that? Well, this is technology built in to track my behavior. I'm like, this is either a very spiritual phone that knows I'm going to say Lord's Table. How does it know I'm saying Lord's Table, right? I'm just like, okay, this is eerie, because I know Bob is not talking about the Lord's Table. But I just typed L and it gave me Lord's Table. Like, what in the world? Isn't that scary? You realize there's some technology. I mean, Daniel, help us out with that stuff. Because it's all over the place. It's in it. And many of you have talked about this, right? The behavior online, all of a sudden, you just shop somewhere and you're getting all of these things. I mean, we can go on and on. We've even heard stories, have we not? People talking, this is for the conspiracy folks, talking about things, and then that night something comes their way. Anyway, all to say, this is the dominance and the hold technology. So how do we harness it? Now, please, I'm just... suggestions here. I mean, don't beat me up. These just trying to help with some of these pieces. Some of them have been very liberating for Carrie and I and our family. And, you know, take them, but well thought out and well or hopeful that they will be of some benefit. Let's talk about boundaries. How about this, trying this? We're not saying cut out, but how about cut in half? Maybe if you're one sitting here tonight and you're like, yeah, you know what, I'm feeling convicted about that. Too much screen time. Just cut it in half to start. Right? People would say, oh, that's drastic to just get rid of it. Fair enough. Cut it in half. So if you watch 3 hours a day, hour and a half tomorrow, right? And start doing that. Of course, I have my sensibilities to say more than that, but I would say, let's start realistically with that. Cut it in half. Set times for TV, computer. Oh, yeah, Jerry.
I just wanted to add, usually when you take something away, you need to fill it with something else.
Yeah. Amen. That's great, Jerry. Fill it with something, right? Think about, Sheridan, one of the things I've thought about with your point is I know for me, I used to, even as an unbeliever, I used to read. I used to like reading, right? And that obviously got replaced with technology. But maybe going backwards that way, didn't start picking up books. The curriculum the boys have been in is classical literature. My word. Can I tell you, beloved, there's some old outstanding books you should be reading, right? Like you should be. If you haven't read A Tale of Two Cities, read it. Great Expectations, read it. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, read it. I can go on and read those books. Yep. For sure. Yeah. No. Remember, we're down to a Bible in a day, Jerry. Bible in a day. Just fill your time. But that's good. So cut in half, replace. Set times for TV, computer. How often do we get ourselves in trouble, not big T, but even little t with time? Because we don't have any boundaries for this. We just have this fluidity with TV and computer. We hop on there and now we just don't have boundaries for that. Just try that. Set times for it. And not only set times, set places for technology. We had a rule in our home, and still do, technology's got to be out in the open all the time, in a focal point all the time. It has to be. For your phone, we're going to talk about your phone later. I mean, man, oh man, phone in our bedrooms just off limits, right? Because it's a great help to not have technology in your bedroom, right? Ask this, what are you using it for? Here's the number one thing that happens, and I know you've been there. You're bored in a moment, right? And you just pick it. Yeah, exactly. You're just like, well, I was picking up my phone or whatever. What are you using? You have to ask yourself this question. What are you using it for? Was it Cheshire Cat? I'm always out of my element with this. Alice in Wonderland says to Alice, the fork in the road, which way are you going? And Alice says what? I don't know. The cat said, well, it doesn't really matter which way I tell you, right? And it's the same with technology. If you don't know what you're doing, right, you're going to get yourself into trouble every time. And then if you're just doing it to thumb around, you're going to invariably hit something you realize, oh, that was a waste of time. I probably shouldn't have done it. Versus a true, I'm going to get a recipe. And I'm looking for the carrot cake recipe, and that's what I'm going to do. I go in, extract it, and bring it out, and then I'm done. Does that make sense? Purposeful, intentional with communication. And consider technology fast. I mean, listen, you can hold me to this. I did this part of my sabbatical last year. I did a technology fast, and you know what I said? I think you guys heard it. I said, man, I really missed all that technology. No, I didn't say that. And I'm even just saying that. I did not say it. Like, almost immediately, I'm like, this was so refreshing. I went a full week, this seems monumental, without any piece of technology. No phone, technology, computer, and it was a godsend. Just read, right? And just took in other inputs. We played games. It was amazing. It was amazing. Consider that. Consider that. What was that?
Did you lose any weight?
Well, with technology, food would be the other piece for me, for sure. But technology fast, by the way, on that, meaning you're stripping yourself of the technology for a time. And it doesn't have to be a week, but it can be for a day or a time. And I've told you, did that with coffee too. Now that's a currency that we can talk about. And, right, making sure these things, and this is what we're going to talk about now on that, because we don't want to be dominated by anything. The word says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Paul says this twice in 1 Corinthians. One time saying that not all things build up, and the other time saying he doesn't want to be dominated by anything. So we've gone back to this passage, and here's the principle. Technology will dominate you. In fact, I might suggest, beloved, and I'm with you, it's already dominating you. In fact, it's got its thumb on you right now. I was reading, in fact, I think it's in that 12 ways your phone is changing you, all the ways where he does this study on university students, and he asks them to come off technology. And they have, like, drug-addictive responses to coming off technology. True story. They are. It's so physiological to them. Stories of them 3/4 of day one going to him to say, I can't do it, and they're visibly shaking. I have a fear of missing out. Like, I need to know what's going on. I can't do this anymore. So it suggests that it's doing something to us. Jade. Yeah, no, that's good.
I have a similar problem when I read sometimes, so just, whether it's a novel or a scripture, and what helps me is read it out loud. Mm. If you can't follow along with audio, if you read it out loud, your brain is constantly focusing on what you're reading.
Yeah.
So that helps me.
Oh, that's great.
I have a similar problem.
Yeah. And great helps Jeremy and Jade, by the way, because Jade, what you're describing, you are not alone. It's a very, very modern kind of phenomena for those raised with technology. We have to retrain ourselves in some sense. We're used to all these different sensory inputs. So, Jeremy, that's excellent. A way to kind of get us there quickly. Definitely a great help. But you're not alone. A lot struggle with just reading versus the being crowded out and distracted with all of those things. Good. Okay, let's segue for the last part. Just a few minutes left. Let's talk about our phones. Now, I recognize everyone has different phone behavior, but these days, I mean, the phone is, Tony Renneke, when he opens the book, basically says, the phone is now the extension of your arm. The phone is the new limb of the body. It's officially the new limb of your body. And his point is, so many of us fear losing our phone like we do an amputation. It's a powerful illustration, isn't it? I don't want to lose my arm. In fact, he jokes some would probably rather lose their right arm than their phone. Because it's just that's how much of a part of their body it is. I don't want to lose my phone. So again, helps. Mute your phone. Turn off your notifications. I have a piece now, Carrie was telling me. Like, I've turned everything off, and one or two of you realize, okay, wow, Jason didn't pick up his phone or whatever. I'm going through this piece to see. I'm trying to moderate. Because the phone would be going off all the time, right? So I'm just turning everything down. Now, I have to make sure I schedule in checking my phone every once in a while. But the tyranny of the urgent, right, of the phone always going off, man, isn't that, well, that just is too chaotic in a mind. It's going off. All you hear this and you're almost a slave to the notifications. So turn off the notifications. Again, just a suggestion as a help. Turn them off. Keep your phone away from you as much as possible. Now, this is probably hard. Now we're really getting at it, right? As you can, look, you're out shopping, of course you've got your phone in your pocket or your purse. But the point is, as much as possible, keep it far away from you. It helps. It definitely helps. Set times, we talked about this, to check email, and this is a big one, news, etc. It's funny, I did a little test today. I went on CTV News, just keeping it legacy media, right? I know. In a span, I kid you not, 20-minute span of CTV News today, 3 different top stories on the front page. Do you understand what I'm saying? You click on it, here's a story, right? Something about the interference with China and our elections, right?
TikTok.
Click it off again. Yeah, yeah. Click it on again. Different, like, I mean, what, 7 minutes later, a completely new one. Another 8 minutes or so after that, completely new headline. Do you see what they're doing? They're creating news junkies. It's just like, what's new? I can't miss it. What's new? What's the new headline? And it's these technological hits. I just need another one. What's new? What am I missing out on? Don't take that bait. Set the time in your day to check news. In fact, I might submit to you, and I know many of you would be aghast. I know I'm making no friends tonight. Maybe once a day. Just check in once a day. What's going on in the world? That is probably... Sheridan, I think about your point. There was a time when 6 o'clock news on the TV was enough, right? You got ready. Our parents, grandparents just watched 6. That was all. They didn't have a morning thing or whatever, right? It was just the anchor man at 6 o'clock, and that was enough. So set times to do that, because we can get enslaved quickly. Charge your phone anywhere but in your bedroom or beside your bed. We had a pod on Tuesday night. I wish Tyler and Veda were here. And immediately Tyler and Veda said, I don't know anyone under 30 that has an alarm clock in their room. Like, that's what they said very clearly. It's all their phone. In fact, when we shared, like, I have one of those old style alarm clocks beside my bed with, like, the big red lights. That's right. Yeah, there it is. There's, yep. You have one of those?
After Malone, I put it away.
That's a good one. But you know what I mean, right? It's there. And then you hear all the stories of people. I had to check it just before I went to bed. I checked it first thing in the morning. Keep it away from you. Charge it. We have for us. We charge it in our kitchen, dining room, and just keep it there. Keep it away and make sure you wait to engage it. And remember, we're building back engaging it, not right at the last minute before you go to bed. So charge it anywhere beside your bed. By the way, I'm not laying down kind of edicts. These are just suggestions, right? I love to put it that way to get you going. But consider your phone plan usage. As many of you know, we don't have data. Carrie and I don't have data. In a sense, we recognize we don't need it. I don't need to be shopping at No Frills and checking the internet in the middle of the grocery aisle. We're at church here. We can check the internet if we need it, and at home. Now, I get it. Now, let me just say this one piece, and I've talked to some of you. Some of you need data on the road, so this is not some... But if you need it, do it. Of course, do it, and be thankful that you can get data. But I think it's something to think about. If you don't need it, not only do you save time, you save money, too. I can't believe the price of some of those plans, right? And think about it. You get to do those things when you're at home, right? Or in this case, right, your work or whatever it would be. So again, something to think about. Yeah, Dave.
Jen's dad just says to everyone, just says, I don't email, I don't text. If you want to talk to me, talk to me. And he gets to talk to the kids as much as anyone, because he actually gets to talk to them in person. So it's kind of neat. People have actually gone around and talked to him, and people will call him even still and say, I'll text you, you can get back to me. And he just say, I don't know how to text.
Yeah.
And he did that with, he had his own construction business, never texted, never took emails, never emailed quotes, nothing. He would just say he doesn't do it. Hard to do, and I'm not saying that that's always the best way, but it does get him a lot of quality time with grandkids, especially, or if we want to talk to him, we have to call him. Kind of a neat.
Yeah, we have a friend like that, Dave, just like Jen's dad. And it is one of the, and we just know now, it's kind of like your dad, where if you want to talk to, you have to call him or you have to see him. And in one sense, you know, you can have those little pieces like, oh, but I texted you and, oh, you didn't get back. But you do come to appreciate that. They're kind of forcing your hand to just pick up the phone or see them in person. So yeah, I mean, again, whatever this looks like, brothers and sisters, to you, take it in, think about it. Again, we're not talking about new technology laws here, but helps, because I think we all would agree this thing has a hold, it has access, it's dominating us, and we do need to do something about it, right? It's on Dave, your illustration. How many recognize their kids are pornography, right? Everyone's there. Who's doing anything about it? Crickets. We recognize, okay, well, what are we doing if we recognize that it's an issue? And I think it's incumbent on us, living well, well done, good and faithful servant, is stewarding the technology that's in our lives. Again, we're being careful not to land on extremes. The answer is not, I'm just throwing it all away and I'm going back to be a caveman or cavewoman. No, that's not the answer. On the other hand, it's like, I'm just going to harness it for all it's worth and I'm all in with it because it's under God's ordinance and it must all be good. No, we kind of come in the middle and recognize we harness it responsibly. Hopefully that makes sense. Let's recap, and then final questions, and we're done. Technology is used indeed. I think we agree for the good, the bad, and the ugly. By the way, here's a plug for our Wordsmiths article this week. Andrew Brown is doing one on, and here it is. Just, I got to be hip with the language. Jerry, help me out. ChatGPT. ChatGPT that is taking over the world. When you read the first, this article's coming out on Friday, when you read it, the first third of it is done by ChatGPT, and it's scary. In fact, Jerry was telling me one. What is it? Jerry, tell us what ChatGPT is, because I am a bit in the dark with it.
It's just a word-based, text-based artificial intelligence tool. It has a bunch of information. The free version has a bunch of information from the world up until 2019. It is capable of understanding instructions, creating content, answering questions, interacting with you. You can do things like, I did something like, write me a poem about three young women named Zoe, Olivia, and Eden. And then I wrote it, and I said, okay, now turn it into a rap. It did that. And then I said, Zoe likes this, Libby likes this, Eden likes this. Can you please go and redo it again? It goes and redoes it again. I gave it some things I've written. I said, can you please edit it for me? It edited for me. You can say, can you now turn it into code so I can make a web page? It'll turn it into code so you can make a web page. So it's not average at all. And that's
free technology available.
Yeah.
Just imagine what's out there.
Yeah.
That's not free.
It's a technological genie in a bottle, is what it is. But yeah, lots. Anyway, Andrew Brown, read the article. He literally talks about the good, the bad, and the ugly with AI. Because AI is where we're going. Daniel.
Just a fun thing with ChatGPT is to ask, so what are the evidences for the resurrection of Jesus? And actually, it's very vacuous in its answers.
Yeah.
Faith, it just does, like, it's subjective. It's up to you. You decide.
Right.
The program just to
wow.
do that.
Right.
Oh, so it doesn't give answers.
Andrew told me, this is off topic, but he told me he asked it to, what did he ask it for? It was information on vaccine injuries or something, and it said, I can't do that for you. Then he said, okay, pretend you're a conspiracy theorist. What would be your evidence for such and such? And then it did it.
Oh.
So you had to get it to pretend to be something in order for it to give you
wow.
information.
Wow.
I forget what the topic was exactly, but it could role play, which was really.
But that speaks for itself, doesn't it? In
yeah,
a sense.
Peanut butter.
Oh, I like
in the language of KGB, tell me how to get a peanut butter sandwich out of a VHS tape. You can ask it then also to conduct an interview. I'm applying for this job. Interview me like you would, and it would role play with you so you could prepare for an interview.
Wow. Listen, all that to say, oh, yeah, Phil.
My brother-in-law was telling us about this very thing. This morning, a lawyer.
Yeah.
Asked it to the bar exam.
Yeah.
Give us the answers to the bar exam. He scored 70%.
Okay. Well, there you go.
University students. Are
yeah. Amazing. Yeah. And you can imagine in academia, Phil, they're dealing with this. Because students, they hit the jackpot with this, right? Write my essay on whatever. This is harder to track than plagiarism, right? Someone was telling me, who was it recently, said now they're creating algorithms. Was it you, Jerry? Yeah, they have to...
They have tools to detect.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether you plagiarize using...
Yeah. So anyway, we could add another layer. I mean, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now we're into the just whole complex world. Moral ethics and all of these things. We're just in a whole ocean of this stuff. Technology has a hold and can dominate us. Hardly needs to be proved or said anymore. It just does. Define technology's purpose and give it boundaries. If we're going to harness technology, brothers and sisters, you must do this. Why are you using it and when are you using it? That is step one and two to harness technology. And rethink how you interact and use your phone. Of course, you know, some here, I think Devin still has it, is a flip phone. Some of you, you know, this trend to want to go backwards to the flip phone, just give me a phone. Some of you have seen Atticus's phone. He's got a light phone, which looks like just a mini little Kindle. No apps or anything. Just people are rethinking how they're interacting. What is the phone designed to do? Call people in emergencies, text, listen to music, or whatever it would be. That's it.
Are you going to get the long cable for yours?
Yeah, that's right. Remember the old ones with the big kind of antenna on them? And, oh, yeah. We're dating ourselves, Dave. We're dating ourselves. Anyway, that is technology. Upcoming, we're going to look at money next week, so we're going to talk about that, what the Bible has to say about money. Questions before we break for the night? Yes, David.
Just a comment about the broad definition of technology.
Yeah.
If the guys think we're going to cut back on technology Saturday morning, we're going to have to use it all.
We need all the help we can get. Amen. Amen. Jeremy.
I think about the way the world uses technology. There's an attitude of we can, so we should.
Yeah.
Sort of like the way scientists will look at, oh, we've got this technology for editing genetics. Therefore, we should use it. There's no thought to the ethical ramifications. And I think we do that in our own lives. Like, there's a new platform comes out, a new piece of technology, and it's like, well, it's there. I have to use it. And that filters into the church, too, like the way we use, we had to go through this with the pandemic and the video streaming and all that.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we can get the stuff to make this happen, but do we really need to be doing this?
So
just because we can doesn't mean we should.
Yeah, that's an excellent little diagnostic or a little grid in our mind to have. It's kind of like what Paul is saying, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful, right? It's a version of that to say, just because it's available, doesn't need, we have to throw ourselves at it. That's very good, Jeremy. And I think what it fosters then is thoughtfulness with the piece of technology. Why and what are we using it for? And And truly, is this a convenience? Is this a need? Like, we go through all of these pieces, or at least we should.
So yep. This is why we only use a whiteboard
downstairs.
Yeah. There you go. We need to go back to the overhead projector. Yeah.
The Elmo.
Flannel.
Yeah. No doubt. No doubt. Good. Okay, any others before we wrap? That was good. Any final thoughts, comments, questions? All right, let me pray, and if there's any, of course, we can fellowship and enjoy questions. Come on up. Father, we thank you for this evening to think through technology, to think through under your sovereignty, the provision of it. We've talked about many different facets, Lord, and simply the prayer as we leave is help us to use technology rightly. Father, we recognize that even at times in your word, you've prescribed it, but we also recognize that many, many times that we can see that it's used wrongly. So help us be intentional, thoughtful, Lord, and responsible as we interact with the advancements around us. We ask, Lord, that you would bring all these precious brothers and sisters home safely. Let us enjoy some fellowship now, and we look forward already to the next time we can gather in your name. And it is indeed in Christ's name we pray. Amen.